going to continue. Stop doing a series. I've finished a series on Jesus' encounters with lost people. I've been doing a number of different examples of that in the scriptures, and I'd like to on a Sunday evening to go through the Gospel of John. So, if you'd like to turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 1, and we're going to look at a series in the Gospel of John. This is part 1. In John's Gospel, in chapter 1, reading from verses 1 through to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The title of the message this evening is The God of Eternity. So let's join together in prayer. Father, we thank you. We declare this evening, Lord, our total dependence on thee. And Father, there's nothing in ourselves we know, Lord. As we're servants, we desire to have your light shine. We pray, Father, it'll shine as it has been through these thousands of years to dispel the darkness of humanity and bring them to the light. We ask we'll not run away from the light, but we'll acknowledge the light this evening. And so our deeds will be wrought in God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Gospel of John as an introduction was written around 85 to 90 AD, probably from Ephesus. The writer is the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, the apostle, the son of Zebedee and Salome, and the younger brother of James, the one that our Lord called the sons of thunder in Mark 3:17. And the purpose of the book was to establish that Jesus Christ is God. And the references John 20:30 to 31 and John 1:14 give reference to that. So his deity is seen in the titles given to him. In verse 1, it's the Word of God. And John chapter 1, verse 1, and John chapter 1, verse 29, is called the Lamb of God. In John 1:41, the Messiah. In John 1:49, the Son of God and the King of Israel. In John 4:42, is called the Saviour of the Saviour of the world. In John 20:28, is called Thomas calls him my Lord and my God. Seven times at least is a minimum. I ams are referred to, and Jesus refers himself as the great I am. And, there's a number of those that he refers to him as. And the I am is a reference to the fact that he was the Yahweh of the Old Testament. So it's a reference to his deity. So he's saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the vine. Whatever the I ams, all those I ams, he's saying those things about the fact that he is God. And it's important for us as believers to be convinced of that. It's important for us to be able to explain to people why we believe that this person, the third person of the Trinity, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God. Matthew's Gospel, with his four Gospels, there's different references and different emphases on different things. Matthew presents Jesus as the Messiah of Israel, Matthew's Gospel. And so the Gospel of Matthew is called Behold Your King. Mark presents our Lord as a servant, and so the Gospels, Behold My Servant. Luke presents our Lord as a perfect man. So we see in Luke, Behold the man. He's the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So, but in John's Gospel, we see the heavens open and the eternal God descending down, and we know he's virgin born, and we see God and man, one, blessed together here, and so we see, behold your God. You know, it's behold your king, behold my servant, behold the man, and behold your God. And so this gospel was written to establish the truth of the divinity of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we see that throughout the Gospels here. So from the outset, John assumes the deity of Christ as we go through it. And so, very briefly tonight, as an introduction, and I'm just going to... we're going to look at five major reasons from the scripture that Jesus is God. Okay? So the first one, we know that Jesus is God because of the direct statements of scripture. In John 1:1, the Word was God. Now, I haven't got a handle on all the Greek on this tonight, so I'm going to quote a few references from a commentary, because we haven't got to the stage of tenses in the Greek in our class, and we won't do that this year. But the tenses of the Greek help us understand the meanings of those words. Now, of course, is where the Jehovah's Witnesses get off the track with the references here, thinking that it's not a reference to Jesus being actually a God, but a God, and so that is twisted round. But the Word was God there, and I just wanted to go on to that in a moment. But these direct statements of Scripture, we know that in the Bible, Jesus refers to himself as I am, the great I ams in Scripture. He refers to himself as I and the Father are one, in John 10:30. Jesus is one in nature and essence with the Father. Thomas called Jesus my Lord, my God in John 20:28. Philippians 2:6 speaks of Jesus being equal with God. Colossians 2:9, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Romans 9:5, Jesus is referred to as God blessed forever. In Titus 2:13 and 2 Peter 1:1, call Jesus our great God and our Saviour. Hebrews 1:8 calls God the Father addresses the Son as God. 1 John 5:20, John referred to Jesus Christ as the true God. So, from Scripture, Jesus Christ is God. And we know that because of the direct statements of Scripture. But there's another reason. Jesus is given titles in Scripture that are also given to God the Father. Similar titles. I'm going to look at just a couple of these to start with. Psalm 23, verse 1. In Psalm 23, and in verse 1, we have a reference to, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And over in John chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, verse 14, and am known of mine. So John 23:1 and John 10:14, he's the shepherd. In Genesis 18, Genesis 18 and verse 25, says that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous would be as the wicked, and that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now just turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy and chapter 4, we have a reference Two Timothy 4 and verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. And verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. So there's references to And we know the reference God there, with Yahweh, in the Old Testament. So, you know, God the Father is called a shepherd. God the Son is called a shepherd. God the Father is called judge. God the Son is called judge. There's similar references and references to the word Holy One and the first and the last and light and the Lord of the Sabbath and Saviour and the Pierced One and Mighty God and Lord of Lords and Alpha and Omega and the Lord of Glory and the Redeemer. And there's all cross references all the way through to all those words that God the Father's called those, and God the Son is called the same. See, Jesus has given titles in Scripture that are also given to God the Father. Then the third reason we believe that Jesus is God from Scripture is because Jesus possesses the attributes of God. He's eternal. He's omnipresent. In Matthew 28:20, refers to that, and it says that teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient in John 9:6. He's omnipotent in Philippians 3:21. He's immutable, unchanging in Hebrews 13:8. He's eternal, Isaiah 9:6. So we know that Jesus is God for the reasons that we've said so far, because of the direct statements of Scripture, because Jesus is given titles in Scripture that are also given to God the Father, because Jesus possesses attributes of God. Number four, Jesus does the works only God can do. He created all things. He made all things. Difference, just go here, Colossians and in Colossians in chapter 1, verse 16, and says, for by him were all things created, they are in heaven and they are in earth, visible and invisible. There be thrones, dominions, or principalities, powers, all things created by him and for him. So he created all things. He sustains all things. Keeps it going, Hebrews 1:3. He raises the dead. John 5:21. He forgives sin, Mark 2:7. His words stand forever, Isaiah 48 and Matthew 24, verse 35. And so that's the fourth reason that we know that Jesus is God, for all those reasons there. Who else could raise the dead, forgive sin, sustain all things, keep it all going? It is our great God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fifth reason is because Jesus received worship. Jesus said that only God is to be worshipped in Matthew 4:10. Holy men and angels refuse worship, but the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of worship. Matthew 14:33, Matthew 28:9, John 9:38, and Hebrews 1:6 refer to examples of Jesus receiving worship. Okay. So going back to our text tonight, to establish the fact that the deity of Christ is fundamental for people to be convinced about, to know that they're dealing with God incarnate. So in verse 1 of John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So it doesn't take a lot to work out this, talking about the fact that God was there, not from the beginning of time, but from all eternity past. Yeah, so how do you know that? It's because when it refers in the Greek, and you have to understand, that's what in Greek is very important. See, the word was with God there is an imperfect tense. And it means a continuing action in the past. So it's not in the beginning of creation, it's in the beginning referring to a continual action of things happening in the past, and that's what was with God. The Lord Jesus Christ was with God the Father, continually existing before the beginning. He was never created. There was never a point in time when Jesus was had come into being. He was always there. The word was with God there. Was with God is pros ton theon. And we've done that in Greek. Okay. And it basically means that Jesus was with the Father from all eternity, in a sense, in intimate fellowship. So one's referring to the fact that he was continually there. The other one was referring to the fact that Jesus Christ continually before the face of God the Father, like face to face with him in eternity. So the word Jesus existed from all eternity, face to face with fellowship with God the Father. The same was in the beginning, continually in the past, continuing on, right? So we see that those references there to God being eternal. It's interesting in the text of Josephus, it translates, God was the Word. The Word was God. It says, God was the Word. That's the way they put it together. And it's important, isn't it? It's important for us as believers to understand this truth about the eternal nature of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just read something here. It's the truth of Jesus Christ's deity is a non-negotiable element of the Christian faith. You know, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. It's heretical. It's deadly danger. People that teach that Jesus is not God are wolves in disguise and not to be welcomed into the sheepfold, but guarded against and avoided. And this confusion about the deity of Christ is inexcusable, because the biblical teaching regarding it is clear and unmistakable. Jesus Christ is the eternally pre-existent Word, who enjoys full face-to-face communion and divine life with the Father and is himself God. What a glorious truth to know that and to guard against anything that's against that. The nature of our God, our eternal God. He's eternal, the eternal God. But in verse 3, it tells us something else about the God, the creator of life. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we know that Jesus Christ created everything that exists. And that further proves Jesus' deity. For nothing creates the creator. He's self-existing, isn't he? And this creation here, let's turn over to Hebrews 1. And says, Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken of us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He's the creator, Hebrews 1:2. He's a creator. You know, when you think about it, you might have to think of this for a minute, but only the creator could be uncreated, couldn't he? No one else could be uncreated. No one else could be uncreated. Everything else is created. But the Godhead was totally uncreated. I sort of foolishly one night, years and years ago, coming back on a Sunday night, they must have been having a meeting for some reason at the JW Hall up the road, and I stopped there and I called out to this guy, I thank God that Jesus Christ is God. Stopped the car and wind the window down. This guy came over and said, and I thank God the Father that he created his Son, you know? I suppose I sort of was asking for that. By the way, don't do that. That's a foolish way to witness to people. But, the point is that I'd never heard a person say that before. God created his Son. How can he create something that's eternal? See? He's the only begotten of the Father. Begotten, it means eternal and existing. Amazing. And we know in Scripture that God is described as the Creator in many verses. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Okay? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And there are other references to God is described in the Bible as creator. Just go to the other end of the Bible, Revelation, and chapter 4 and verse 11. It says in a time there where it's got, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were and are, they are and were created. Revelation 4:11. So in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. First book of the Bible. Last book of the Bible. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. He's a creator. All things, visible and invisible, God created. So her world was made, but it's been marred, hasn't it? It's been disfigured by the curse, and so it's not exactly the same as it was when it was first made by any means. It's changed, and sin has affected everything. But you know, one day Jesus will redeem his people, and he'll also redeem this planet, and he will make a time in the millennial reign where the wolf will dwell with the lamb in that millennial kingdom on earth. And we know that's going to be a glorious time. There will be our creator God. There was paradise lost. It'll be paradise gained, won't it? So we have the eternal God. We have the creator of life. And in verse 4 and 5, we have the source of eternal life. Just go back to your gospel there. And John. The Gospel in John, chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus has life in himself. He's self-existent. There never was a point when he didn't exist. There was a point when the universe didn't, but not our God, Jesus Christ. But notice the contrast. There's life, there's light, and there's darkness. Humanity are in the dark. People are in the dark. Sin darkens the life of humanity. And you'd think that people would run towards the light, but they don't. And they don't run towards the light because they don't want their deeds exposed. We know that over in John chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, as his deeds should be reproved." And so that's why people don't come to the light. They're in darkness. They need to realise that Jesus is the light of the world. He's the salt of the earth. In Jesus' day, people saw this perfect person, but they rejected him. He came under his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. They comprehended it not. Why not receive Jesus Christ? Why not trust in him? Why not give your life to him? Why not? Because people are living in the dark and they prefer the darkness. They prefer life that way, whether they realise it or not. Everyone has a natural inclination for God inside them. They have a natural recognition of right and wrong. And that can never be extinguished. People can suppress it as much as possible and fight against reality of the light. But people need to come to that light. Come to the light. It's shining for you. "Sweet are the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see, because the light of this dark world is Jesus." We come to the light tonight. If you haven't come, you can come just as you are. Come to the light. He'll take your darkness and make your darkness light. Let's close with 391.